Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Tyler Radio Empire.
Here he is. The book is called Leonard Maltin, Starstruck, My Unlikely Road to Hollywood. And we love talking to Leonard Maltin. Hi, Leonard. How you doing?
Welcome back.
Morning. How are you guys?
Great. Hey, Leonard, I want to ask you this because, about the book and about how you got started. How does one person, how'd yourself, by the way, decide you loved movies so much, but you also want to write about them and say if you like them or not? And people started reading you. I mean, how did you get to that point?
Well, it took time to get to that. That point came about when somebody gave me a job.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then who gave you your first job?
A great theater critic, Harold Clareman, was once asked, "What are the main requirements for being a theater critic?" And he said, "To be a critic, you must have a job." And it says it all. If somebody will give you a job, you're a critic. Poof.
Yeah. Okay. When did you reach?
My first interest was really the history of the movies.
All right.
And that's what got me hooked. And that's what I started writing about as a kid, at 12 years old, 13 years old, writing about the days of Charlie Chaplin and Buster Keaton and Douglas Fairbanks. That's what consumed me. And so that's where my first love still lies, in the movie history.
But you had to eventually write and criticize people. So what did you feel weird about criticizing people you liked?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then that got worse when I moved here to Hollywood.
Sure.
And actually met some of those people, encountered some of those people.
Yeah.
Boy, is that awkward. Yeah.
Do they ever come at you? I think we've asked you this before,
right,
though.
Did you make anybody mad, or do they understand? Do you have
I bent myself into a pretzel not to say anything insulting about Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
When
All
he
right.
had just made a film, I can't remember which movie it was, early on. This is the early 80s.
Okay.
And a couple of nights later, he was on a reception line, and my colleague at ET, Jeannie Wolf, said, "Sly, why don't you come over and say hello to Entertainment Tonight?" He said, "I can't do that, Jeannie. I'd be a hypocrite. That guy on your show, he was, I don't mind criticism, but he was vicious."
Uh-oh. Oh.
Yeah. What was it you said? Do you remember what you said that was termed vicious?
No, but it wasn't vicious.
But Rocky was scared of you. That's kind of cool in a way, don't you think?
No, he wasn't scared of me. He was intimidated by the idea of somebody, you know, somebody taking a poke at him, so to speak.
Well, yeah. That's got to be kind of empowering.
Leonard Maltin, Starstruck, My Unlikely Road to Hollywood. Now, you wrote the book. How did you get your where'd you come from, and how did L.A. find you? I don't know that.
I was born in Manhattan. That gives me a lifelong credential as a native New Yorker.
Right. Okay.
And when I was four, my family moved to the suburbs, to Teaneck, New Jersey.
Okay.
Which is just 5 miles from the George Washington Bridge. Yeah. So we spent a lot of time, and I spent a lot of time growing up in the city, which was just great.
Yeah.
And I took full advantage of being there. The revival movie theaters and the memorabilia shops and the used bookshops, where I started to build my movie book library, and I started collecting movie stills. All that happened because I was in and around New York. But and I went to NYU and was on the daily newspaper there.
Got it.
That's where I wrote my first real movie reviews.
All right.
Everything was a building block, but I didn't know it at the time.
There's a lot of critics, though, Leonard, so somebody saw something in you and hired you to be on TV in Los Angeles, so... Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, yes, I was on. I started writing books about movies, mostly movie history. I wrote a book called The Great Movie Comedians, and that got me on the Today Show.
Got it.
Which then or now, you know, great booking. National television.
Yeah.
And Gene Shalit. You remember Gene Shalit?
Sure do. Oh, yeah. Sure do. Yeah.
Gene interviewed me, and we had a loose, lively, funny interview. And somebody saw that 3,000 miles away in Los Angeles
right.
at Paramount Television. They had just launched a new show called Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah.
This guy said to the new producer, who was, I think, the fifth producer to work on this new show, I saw a guy on the Today Show this morning. I think you ought to check him out. And the phone rang in my apartment, you know, 5 days later, wondering if I would do an audition. And they flew me out to L.A., and I did an audition, and they aired it the next night without telling me.
And it was a hit, obviously.
What year was that?
1982.
Do famous critics get along? Did you get along with the guys like Siskel and Ebert and guys like that, or do you guys all get along or not?
Are there rivals?
Yeah.
There are rivalries, but I was friendly with Gene and Roger, and they were friendly toward me.
Okay.
And we didn't see each other that much. We were in different cities.
Right, true. They were in Chicago. Yeah.
But we'd run into each other at Oscar time mm-hmm. or every now and then at the Toronto Film Festival. And we got along fine. I don't think there was any real rivalry. They were the kings of the hill, and I was I was still building my reputation.
Yeah, but you're still around. Leonard, is there a movie out there, I don't think we ever asked this question, that you like that is generally panned by most people, but you like it?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of those.
something we would know that's generally thought of as a bad movie, but you think it's a good movie.
Oh, gosh. I should have a snappy answer to this, but I nothing is jumping into my head.
Yeah, that's a tough one, I'm guessing. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Gosh.
See, the ones
now it's
going
to bug you all day. Sorry, man.
You can use this.
It is
going to
bug me all day.
Well, I really want to. I want to know the answer because like I said, you've seen a lot of movies. Yeah. Sometimes we all watch a movie we like, and then other people just hate it.
Here's some movies that I like, and then I saw the one the other day that the critics panned to death. Were a lot of the Costner stuff, The Waterworld and The Postman, got critically panned, and I didn't think they were bad movies. What did you think?
Be honest with Todd.
Give me a second.
Okay.
Take a deep breath.
All right.
Take a deep breath and listen to this, okay?
Okay. I'm listening.
I get a call. It's the very beginning of the cell phone era.
Okay.
I get a call from my boss saying, drive to Warner Brothers right now. They're screening Kevin Costner's new movie called The Postman.
Right.
You're going to watch it and then walk across the lot to his office and interview him.
Uh-oh.
Now, I don't know anything about The Postman.
Right.
I walk into the screening room as he's finishing doing a little informal intro to like the dozen people who are there in a room that seats 500. And I sit down and I start to watch. And I'm not sitting near anybody else. I'm in my own little space.
Right.
Now, did I know it was going to be 3 hours long? No.
Oh, no heads up on that.
And by the third hour, I'm actually muttering out loud. I'm saying, jeez. Oh. And right afterwards, I go to the restroom and walk immediately to Kevin Costner's office where there are two cameras and my crew waiting for me, and I'm just praying he's not going to ask me if I like the movie.
Oh.
And at one point he says, well, the blah, 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 and I hope you like the film.
Oh.
And I said, well, I like seeing it on that big screen.
Okay, that's not that.
And he bought it.
Oh, he bought it. Oh. Leonard Maltin, starstruck and My Unlikely Road to Hollywood is out now. The book. Congratulations, Leonard, on the book and everything else you do. And please remember what you like that people think sucks and get back to us on that.
Would you like us to, Leonard?
I got a word for you.
Yeah. What? You got something?
No.
Okay. Oh. You're still thinking about it. All right.
I had something at hand, but I'm going to get word to you. I promise I will.
Oh, please. Please do that. Please do that, Leonard. Thank you. Appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Take care, guys.
See you, man. All right. Yeah.
Okay. It's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Apparently he just hates movies that Todd likes. Yeah. Todd does that to him every time. He asks him a question. He goes, "Ah, Todd, that's wrong. That movie sucks."
I hated Citizen Kane. You're wrong.
Yep.
Postman was great. You're wrong.
Yeah, that's a great story.
That would be awkward.
But he bought it.
What a line. I like seeing it on the big screen. Movies are on the big screen.
These guys can't lie. I mean, that's what they do for a living. He's going to write eventually if he likes it or not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but I was thinking about him the other day, and we're all sitting at home watching movies now. And he did that way back when.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets screeners sent to him, I'm
right.
Sure.
And probably with armed guards and an armored truck because the studios
but a lot of times,
careful about that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but like I said, he saw that one as he was invited. A lot of critics just went to theaters then. They didn't get screeners
at home.
Or they went to screeners at the
studio.
Right. They didn't send over a laser disc in 1980 for him to watch.
Yeah. I wonder if guys like that, if he has like a big screen at his house or
probably
if it's just like a regular
TV.
Sure,
I bet you he's got a nice media
room. To watch that many movies you have to watch. Especially now.
Yeah. You know, where you can get it all online.
Well, we've had them delivered to us before.
Yeah.
Through an app. On the streaming service. So you had to have a login and password, and it was only up there for a certain amount of time, and you could only watch it once.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he gets them that way now,
right,
too.
Yeah, because I think we saw a couple of Bobcats movies that way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That was fun.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
It's Todd and Tyler, and our podcasts now are easier than ever to find.
Just download the iHeartRadio app and search Todd and Tyler.